What up, bro? Welcome to an episode of Wrestling Life. As you know, I am the host, Brand Janu, and like always on all podcast platforms everywhere, Brand Janu Show. Social media platforms, Instagram, Threads, Brand Janu, Facebook, The Brand Janu Show, and of course, TikTok, Brand Janu Show. Go just follow me on all those social media platforms. I deeply appreciate it. I gotta get back to posting on Facebook and Instagram like I used to, especially the clips, my shorts that I post, but I'm gonna get back to that soon. That should be a New Year's resolution for me, but I don't do New Year's resolutions anyway. But this is where you really can find me. My YouTube channel, Brand Janu Show. Just go there, subscribe, comment. I do comment back. I've been commenting all day on certain shorts that I've been posting for the last couple of days. I've been commenting all day on certain people, finding, I guess, the clips, the shorts on my YouTube channel. So I've been posting, I've been commenting with people all day. Love that. Like I always say, as long as it's not crazy, crazy comments, because a lot of people try to, give you that negative energy, and you just be like, whoa, 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 I don't do that here. So let's keep it, positive, man. Shout out to everybody that's been subscribing. I appreciate it, man. The more y'all like the vids, comment on the vids, the algorithm goes up for me, and which means more people gets to see me, more people gets to see the videos, more people gets to see the full episodes, and pretty much subscribe to the YouTube channel. So appreciate everybody that's been commenting, subscribing. Appreciate you guys. Thank you guys. Like I said, this is Wrestling Life. Two more. Wrestling Life PLEs I have to do this year. This is the la one of the well three, and tonight was one of the last ones. Got one I'm doing on next Saturday for WWE NXT Deadline. So I'll be right back here next Saturday to talk about WWE NXT. I will be doing a special rating review show for Saturday Night Main Event. So stay tuned for that one on December 14th. And of course, I'll be closing out Wrestling Life with my three episodes, Wrestling Life, my top 10 matches, wrestlers, and moments of wrestling in 2024, getting ready for next year, which I don't know what I'm gonna do to start off next year. I have no idea. Oh, yes, I do. Bret Hart, Owen Hart will be going one-on-one on my wrestlers debate, so stay tuned for that. But that's neither here nor there. Tonight is Wrestling Life, and tonight it is WWE Survivor Series. It just went off, man. Incredible paper PLE. Let me see. One, two, three, four, five. Five matches. Again, Triple H. I love this idea. Last Saturday, I watched AEW's Full Gear. I didn't really do a review on it, but I will talk about it eventually. Probably this week, just to get out the way. But yeah, man. So going from watching a PLE last week where it was not so spaced out, not so give people time to breathe, give people time to enjoy what's going on. This was what we needed. This PLE was really good. Five matches, like I said. Two War Games matches, of course. It was Survivor Series War Games, of course. Two War Games matches. A title change. A hell of a three, a triple threat match. And yes, one match that I'm still just, I knew it was coming. I knew it was coming, but I talk about it. I knew it was coming, but I talk about it. So let's start it off, man. You already know how to do this. I give out my five stars. It's five matches, so five stars. If I got more than two matches with five stars, which I do, I will talk about those matches. And I go from my least favorite match to my most favorite match. Like I said, if I got five stars, then it's clearly I will talk about all the five star matches. And I would give you my match of the night, which would be clearly a five-star match, but it would just be a match that I truly just believe was better. than any other match on the card. So let's get into it, man. Starting off, this rate review show is LA Knight versus Shinsuke Nakamura. I gave this 4.5 stars. I'm gonna drop it to 4, actually. The match was good. Don't get it twisted. It was good. It was good. I'd say nah, because the ending. I give it 4 stars because of the ending, the surprising title change. LA Knight versus Shinsuke Nakamura was a good match. I know a lot of people. This was the weirdest match coming in because it had no build. It was really, you didn't know what the hell it was, to be honest. You didn't know what this match was going to physically be. And then this match happens, and you're like, okay, there's no story. Shinsuke literally came back like 3 weeks ago. What the fuck is it? What are we gonna get out of this? And we got what we got, a title change. This is the one thing about social media that I do not like about wrestling social media. The IWC, I guess what they call themselves, the IWC. This is what I don't like about wrestling social media. You like somebody for a while, you prep them up, you root for them, they get the belt, and then you immediately try to tear them down. I don't fucking understand that shit. Now, I've been very open and very honest about LA Knight, man. LA Knight, from the moment he got on SmackDown, got in a feud with Bray Wyatt, rest in peace, to one of the GOATs, one of the greatest. I love the man. I thought how he played that whole role. He went from pretty much being considered a jobber at once to becoming literally a face of the company in like 3 to 4 months. You ain't never seen no shit like that. That was really the first creative move. People forget that. That was the real first creative move Triple H did when he took over creative, was LA Knight going from what was his name? Max Dupri to LA, back to LA Knight that he was in NXT. So for him to go from Max Dupri to LA Knight to then have people really no crowd reaction at the beginning for his first match, he had no crowd reaction to literally in like 3 4 weeks, like 3 4 months. Like he goes into this moment where he just becomes the biggest fucking star in the company, especially at a time where SmackDown had no Roman Reigns, no Bloodline. Bloodline had split up. Cody wasn't on SmackDown at the time. It was really nobody on SmackDown, and he kept carrying that show without even being a fucking champion, which was crazy. Like I have said about LA Knight, man, I am a super huge fan of LA Knight. This was one of the last wrestlers that my dad, that my dad was like, "Yo, B, you might be right about LA Knight." He's like, "Dad, you might be right about LA Knight. Like, I see why you like him." I was like, "Yeah." So I have a different type of love for LA Knight. So yeah, man. So him losing tonight, it didn't really shock me. It made more sense than people want to give it credit for. I think it actually made more sense. I think him being blinded last night, even though it was a tape show, him being blinded by the black mist from Shinsuke, you can see he kind of wasn't himself in the match. Like I said, really great match between these two. They actually matched really well. I mean, the match wasn't bad. Of course, it was kind of slow. It was methodical. So a lot of people don't like slow, methodical paced matches usually. They usually hate those matches. Let's just be real. A lot of people usually hate slow, methodical paced matches, especially with two different styles like this. It was better than what I think a lot of people really thought it would be. But yes, it had no story. It had no build. It had no idea. So you clearly didn't know what was going to happen. A lot of people on social media was like, well, you can't bring Shinsuke back just for him to lose to LA Knight. That don't make no sense. Why would you do that? But then on top of that, it was like, well, I could kind of see LA Knight dropping the belt, but not to Shinsuke. That don't make no sense. So it was kind of like a tug of war. What was going to happen? And a lot of people also were just like, no, LA Knight shouldn't lose the fucking belt. Why would he lose the belt? That don't make no sense. This made the most sense. And I know people are going to think I'm crazy. This made the most sense. It made sense. I think LA Knight's title run was coming to an end at some point. Me personally, I would have, once you have exhausted the Andrade and Carmelo Hayes options on SmackDown. AJ Styles got hurt. There was really no other option for him to just keep the belt because you have nobody else. He just beat Santos Escobar. There was, like I've always said about SmackDown, their mid card sucks. They don't really have a mid card. Not like Raw. Raw's mid card isn't really that fucking good. But if you actually put time and effort into, the mid card like you do for Raw, whereas Luvin Kaiser and Sheamus and Pete Dunne and, you know what I'm saying, Jey Uso and Sami Zayn, and you still have some semblance of a mid card on Raw. When he comes back, Ilya Dragunov. You have some semblance of a mid card on Raw. You have none of that on SmackDown. You have literally two, three names: Santos Escobar, Carmelo Hayes, and Andrade. Those are the three names. And they swap out one for the other and the other for the other. You have no mid card for SmackDown. So throwing LA Knight back into the mid card pool makes fucking sense. It makes sense because now you have actually a person who was the former champion, who was going to be on a vendetta to get the belt back. But if you pin him, you just pin the former United States champion. You just beat the former United States champion, which means you're the next in line to go against the United States champion, which is now Shinsuke Nakamura. And on top of that, you finally pulled the trigger on Shinsuke Nakamura. You've been trying, people have been waiting for you to give Shinsuke Nakamura something. I never thought he was going to be Seth Rollins. I never thought he was going to be Cody Rhodes in that feud. It didn't make any sense. This is perfect. This is the perfect. Now, I actually believe this was supposed to be AJ's spot. I think when AJ got hurt, they had to bring back Shinsuke. I think this was supposed to be AJ Styles' spot. I think AJ was supposed to be LA Knight. I don't know if he's supposed to beat him this Survivor Series, but I feel like that was the spot. I think he was supposed to be, Carmelo Hayes, and then Andrade, maybe Santos Escobar, and then move up to LA Knight. Because, like I said, they had no fucking mid card. This is the one thing about the teasing of the breakup of DIY, which I kind of would not. I get that you kind of need tag teams on SmackDown. But I also can kind of understand why you would break up DIY, because then you will have now at least two new names in the mid-card conversation, Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa. And if you have those two guys in the fucking mid-card conversation on SmackDown, that's an interesting fucking conversation to have now. Like I said, the match wasn't bad. I think just the fact that it had no story, no build, and then it was just the surprising end of it was really what it was. Shinsuke beating LA Knight. Like I said, the fact that SmackDown has really no mid card, it made sense to drop the belt if you're LA Knight. It made sense. I know a lot of people don't think that's crazy because, again, and some people are just like, oh, Shinsuke won. It's a plan in place. There's got because at the end of the day, you can't sit there and tell me LA Knight winning the belt at SummerSlam and then he drops it at Survivor Series makes any fucking sense outside of you have no fucking mid card, and you have to build that mid card back up. And the only person you can build that mid card back up with is the United States champion, LA Knight. But he's got the belt. So if he loses, it makes no sense for him to lose in a non-title match if he's not going to win, if he's going to keep the belt in the actual match. So lose it to somebody that is very deserving, who Triple H loves, and Shinsuke Nakamura, somebody that's very deserving. Triple H loves him. He's an NXT guy. And let him drop the belt to Shinsuke, who has been kind of continuously getting close to the title, getting close to the title, getting close to the title, and just can never get it. But now he's got it. And so now LA Knight goes back into the pool. And now Carmelo, Andrade, Santos Escobar. I can see you moving. If this is true, that his contract expires Monday, I can see you moving Penta from AEW. If he's coming in, I can see him go to SmackDown. I personally probably would put him on NXT, just in case when his brother does come, then you can move him to SmackDown. But you're going to keep tag teams together that probably, DIY should be a tag team. But Grayson Waller and Austin Theory, they're still a tag team. Why? You've been teasing a breakup. Just break them the fuck up and let's move on. put them back in the mid card title picture, and that would help the mid card out. Because right now the mid card is very fucking terrible. On SmackDown, like I said, Raw at least can get away with it because it's fucking Raw and they have the bigger names. On SmackDown, you had to build Andrade up. You had to build Carmelo Hayes up to the audience. That's why it's hard on SmackDown. It's damn near impossible on SmackDown. And that's the thing. So I'm not mad at this decision. I think it made fucking sense because, like I said, if you're thinking like a real logical booker would, you have no other idea outside of LA Knight needs to drop the belt, give it to Shinsuke. You kill two birds with one stone. Shinsuke gets the belt because everybody's been saying, "What the fuck is Shinsuke?" Shinsuke, when he comes back, needs to be champion. Okay, you kill that. And now LA Knight goes back to being a mid card fighting for the belt, a baby face, underdog baby face that now is fighting for the belt. But now you give him, now you put now him in a situation where he's now fighting. You put him now in a situation where he's now going to be fighting Santos Escobar and Carmelo Hayes and Andrade. And maybe if you break up Grayson Waller and Austin Theory, finally, you put them in the mid card situation with them. Now you have actually an actual real mid card for the United States Championship. That's something you technically and really fucking needed. So it made sense. It made sense. I know a lot of people think it didn't, but it made sense. In the match is 4 stars. I gave it 4 stars. Dropped it down an extra star. I gave it 4 stars. I gave this 5, and I'm gonna drop it to 4.5. And this is the Women's War Games match. Like I said, I gave it a 5, and I'm gonna drop it down to 4.5. Listen, the match started out very sloppy. I don't know what it is with Nia and Bayley. They have a very sloppy starts to their matches. I don't know what it is. They really always have like a really short, really bad start to their matches. This is the thing about this Women's War Games match. They had no fucking story. None. Once you took Jade out the equation, the story became who the fuck took out Jade, which kind of was the stupidest part of it all after you took out Jade, because I get why Jade, by the way, I know a lot of people get pissed off that Jade probably got taken out, or Jade didn't even fight in this match. Jade was never going to fit this fucking match. Jade is not ready to be in War Games. She's not. And I love Jade. I love Jade Cargill. But she's not fucking ready to be in fucking War Games. She's not. She doesn't have the wrestling ability to handle a fucking War Games match. She don't have the wrestling ability to handle a singles match. That is why they are very particular on how to use her in these fucking matches. Why the fuck you think they paired her up in a tag team? She was not ready to be in a War Games match. That's why they took her out. I don't know if it's a real legit injury, I don't know if it's just a fucking work. I don't know what it is. I don't know if she's gonna pop up in a fucking next Friday night on SmackDown, 2 week span or some shit. Maybe she pops up. If Bianca gets a title match against Nia Jax, which seems more fucking logical now after winning a fucking War Games match, and plus on the tag, Nia's already beat Naomi and she's beating Bayley, and she just lost. She just took a pin to Bianca Belair. It makes fucking logical sense now that Bianca and Nia is now gonna fight for the fucking title at Saturday Night Main Event, because like I said, when this shit happened, when I did my last episode on Wrestling Life, point of view of random shit, I literally said it doesn't make any fucking sense to have a title match for Naomi if you're gonna literally have Saturday Night Main Event, where clearly the whole thought process of that title match would be for Tiffany to cash the fuck in. But now there's a new story that can tie into this. Who the fuck took Jade out? Now, I don't think Bianca took Jade out, but if she did, wouldn't that not make logical fucking sense to have Bianca go against Nia for the title? Jade pops back up, takes out Bianca because she took her out, but Tiffany kind of cashes in money in the bank on Nia, get the fucking belt off of Nia. I mean, listen, that's scenarios you can go with this shit. I mean, let's be real. You got two stories in one. There it is. You got a story that begins with Bianca and Jay. You got a long-lasting story with Naomi, Naya, and Tiffany. And maybe Charlotte comes back at some point. I think you save Charlotte for the Royal Rumble. I do not think Charlotte needs to come out and fucking be in a feud with somebody right now. It doesn't make any fucking sense. We're getting closer and closer to February. Why bring her back? I can understand Becky. I can understand Becky coming back before the Royal Rumble. Because Raw needs some energy. I can even understand Asuka coming back before the Royal Rumble. But Alexa Bliss, Charlotte Flair, you need some juice in that women's war in that women's Royal Rumble. We already know probably Jordynne Grace is gonna probably be in there. Definitely Stephanie and Julia and Roxanne and some of the NXT girls gonna definitely be in that Royal Rumble. I can easily see that shit. I can definitely see Charlotte and Alexa Bliss making their returns as Asuka making her return. I can definitely see certain people making their returns in the Royal Rumble. But for me personally, you're getting to the point now with this situation where Tiffany again cat teased the cash in. At some point, brother, teasing of this shit has got to fucking pay off. And it's got to be something pop and it's got to be fucking big. Bianca versus Naomi, N Bianca versus Naya at Saturday Night Main Event for the WWE Women's Championship. You kill two birds with one stone. Jay comes out, causes Bianca the title because she took her out. If that is the direction you're going with this, which is clearly the direction you seem like you're going with this. And here's the thing people don't understand. Here's the thing people don't understand. Triple H is a history fucking buff. This is where the fuck this is kind of interesting. Because if you remember how him and Shawn Michaels started. If you remember how him and Shawn Michaels started back in the day, 2002, what happened? What happened? Triple H put Shawn Michaels' head through a fucking car window. Jade Cargill ends up on a fucking car with a smash glass windshield. And if the tag team titles somehow, some way get vacated because of this, Bianca becomes a solo star again. The heel Bianca is kind of coming out a little bit more. It makes sense. Now, I don't think even Bianca needs to be the only culprit in this situation. I think if you really want to push this whole story to fucking farther, you don't even make it Bianca. You make it Bianca and Naomi. I've been saying Naomi and Bianca make total fucking sense to be heels. Because Jade's a great, it could be a great heel, but I think they are too afraid to pull a trigger on her being a heel. Because like I said, once you make her heel, there's no coming back from that shit. Either she's gonna get over as a heel or she's just fucking dead in the water and you're not getting out of that. So I can easily see them kind of being like, fuck that. Let's get Bianca, turn Bianca heel. Let's turn Naomi heel. Let's make them a tag team. Let's push it that way. And plus, on top of that, you can get the tag team titles back to Bianca and Naomi, which I actually think that would be actually the smart thing to do. If you, I don't think you should vacate the belts. I think you should just get let Naomi take the fuck because you've done this before with tag team champions. Naomi could just easily take the fucking belt and be the fucking, substitute tag team champion with her. It makes more fucking sense. But yeah, I thought this women's War Games match was good. Again, the discourse on social media is, oh my God, Liv should have won. Oh my God, why would Rhea win this belt? Why would Rhea win? Why the team Rhea win? You are fucking stupid. I don't mean to say it like that, but that, bro, y'all clearly don't watch wrestling. Or you clearly don't fucking understand stories. Rhea's going to beat Liv in the War Games match. It was pretty fucking obvious. Liv was going to take the pin. Rhea was going to be the one to pin her. This is pretty fucking obvious. Rhea has to get the title back. That's the point of the story. She already got dominant. She got the belt. What the fuck is the point of the story now? You really think Liv is gonna keep that belt to fucking WrestleMania? Get the fuck out of here, dude. Like, are y'all fucking delusional? Like I've been said, the idea is for Liv and Raquel to be tag team champions eventually. That's the fucking plan. I don't know how you get there, especially like I said, if Naomi and Bianca are going to possibly be tag team champions. Now, I can see Jay kind of coming out to screw them, which would give Liv and Raquel the belt, which makes fucking sense if that's the way you want to move it. That makes sense. I think that's a cool thing. But what's the fucking what is the purpose? What are we doing here? People that sit up there and get mad at this is so stupid. I don't get it. Like, why are you fuck? That's why I realized that y'all are fucking fanboys. Y'all don't understand storylines of wrestling. Clearly. Clearly you don't fucking understand this. Rhea's going to be champion again. She's going to be champion again. She had to pin Liv. That was the only fucking option. She was going to pin Liv with or without the injury. That shit was going to happen. Liv was going to take the pin against Rhea Ripley in the fucking War Games match. Anybody that thought that Rhea had team, Liv's team had a fucking chance is fucking crazy. I don't give a fuck. Nia didn't take the pin. Tiffany didn't take the fucking pin. Candice was a good option, but Candice was going to take the fucking pin. Liv was going to take the fucking pin. I don't know what the fuck people are mad about. And Rhea was going to be the one to pin her. Because Rhea needs a reason to say. Perfect example. How did she get the title match at Bad Blood? She pinned her at Clash at the Castle. Did you not think that shit was gonna happen again in fucking War Games? What the fuck did y'all think? This is what I've been saying about this whole situation. I don't know how you do it. I don't know what you do. I've been saying this now for at least a couple pay-per-views. My feelings on this shit is very simple. Tiffany needs to get the briefcase, win the belt off of Nia. She goes into WrestleMania as champion. She fights Charlotte. I don't know how you get her and Charlotte. Maybe you let Charlotte win the Elimination Chamber. Cool. Somebody new needs to win the Royal Rumble. I don't give a fuck who, but somebody new. Me personally, even though she's going to have a match against Liv, I have been a very big advocate of Io Sky winning the fucking Royal Rumble because you have no fucking other options. You're not going to give it to Becky. You're not going to give it to Bianca again. Who are you going to give it to? Rhea versus Io at WrestleMania? Would be fucking dope. It would be a great fucking match. It would make fucking sense. Why the fuck not? Like, it would make way more sense than fucking Liv and Rhea. Like, people are delusional if you think that's the way to go. Saturday main event, Rhea's gonna beat Liv. Rhea's gonna beat Liv. She's gonna get the belt back, and that's the end of the fucking story. Liv and Raquel are gonna go off and do the tag team title, the tag team title shit. Io and Rhea's gonna go off and probably I think Io and Rhea should be the WrestleMania match. I don't give a fuck how we gotta get there, but we gotta get there. Charlotte could win the Elimination Chamber. Let her win the Elimination Chamber to fight Tiffany Stratton. But that should be the WrestleMania match. Now I don't know what the fuck you do with Becky. I don't know what you do with Alexa. Becky's the one. I think Becky versus. Let's say Lara Van Kariya has the Intercontinental Women's Championship. By the way, that women's title is dope as a motherfucker. I like the Women's Intercontinental Championship way more than the Women's US title. The Women's Intercontinental Championship fire as a motherfucker. But I say let Lara and Becky fight at WrestleMania for the fucking Intercontinental Championship. Why not? And for the US women's title, maybe Becky and maybe Bianca and Jay. But then you would have to get. I don't know who you do that with. That's a hard one. I can see Chelsea Green and Piper Niven, but then that's too many ex-friends fighting each other. I think you need something that's completely fucking different for the U.S. women's title. That's why I feel like if you're gonna do it, you gotta shit. Maybe Roxanne Perez in. Roxanne and fuck, I don't even know who you fucking put the belt on at the time. I don't even know the fuck you could put the belt on. Or maybe have like a six-way ladder match. I don't fucking know for the women. Why not? Fuck it. Let's have a six-way ladder match for the women. Let's do it. Let's see what happens for the U.S. Championship. Why not? For Raw, it's very simple. Becky and Lara Vicaria. That's a very simple one. That's a lie. That's a fucking easy dub. Lara needs to beat Becky. Becky and Laura fought for the NXT Championship. Laura beat Becky. It makes logical sense. Laura and Becky are really good friends. They have a respect for each other. Laura comes from where Becky's from. It makes sense. Easy dub. You got an easy WrestleMania match now. Done. Put that shit on night one. Leave it as such. But this women's War Games match wasn't bad. Sloppy at the beginning. Very fucking sloppy. Like I said, Bayley and Nia have weird chemistry. Sometimes their matches go off without a hitch, and sometimes them bitches suck. Them bitches suck. I would actually prefer that it was a not Naomi and Nia, because they actually have way better chemistry than Bayley and Nia. And people would think I'm crazy with that one, but Naomi and Nia have way better fucking chemistry than Bayley and Nia. I actually would have preferred Nia and Naomi started because they really made more sense, but I get it. Bayley had been more War Games battle tested than Naomi had been. I get it, but even in that sense, it's kind of just like, why? It doesn't make any fucking logical sense. I don't get it. But like I said, the match started off very sloppy. I know a lot of people were mad at how the beginning was. You have three women from SmackDown that are embroiled in a different fucking storyline. There was no reason for them to be in this match. But you also, like I said, I've said this shit since literally, since I knew War Games was coming back, and I've been talking about it for like two fucking pay-per-views now, two PLEs now. I've been told y'all, the tag team, women's tag team champions, Bianca and Jay, were going to be in War Games. I've been told you Rhea and Liv are going to be in War Games with Raquel. I even said, and I even picked the shit that day. I said, man, I can already tell you what the women's War Games match is going to be. Io is going to be Liv, Raquel, Candice LeRae, Nia Jax, and fucking Tiffany Stratton. You could clearly see that was the direction because Raw doesn't have any women like that. And SmackDown only had the other storyline for women, and it kind of didn't really even be a storyline. It was just, you can't trust each other, kind of. But I said this shit even, I saw this shit coming a mile away. I said, oh yeah. I said, Bayley's going to be in a women's War Games match. I said, Bayley's going to be in it. Bianca's going to be in it. Naomi's going to be in it. And Rhea's going to be in it. I didn't know if Jade was going to be in it. I knew Jade at the time because she was the tag team champion. But once Rhea got injured, I said, oh yeah, Io's going to now be in it. Now, I didn't know how the Io was going to stay in it when Rhea came back. But Jade got taken out. So that made fucking sense. I was like, okay, that makes sense. It made sense. I knew Bayley was going to be in it. I knew Bianca was going to be there. I knew Naomi was going to be there. I knew Rhea was going to be in it. And then I knew Io Sky was going to be in it. It was like, I was about to call Io Shirai. I was about to call her NXT name. I knew Io Sky was going to be in it. It was like the most simplest fucking. This was the easiest lot. SmackDown has only one really storyline being, tattered to each other, which is Nia, Tiffany, and Candice. And then Bayley, Naomi, kind of Bianca now. Like, they threw Bianca in them in this, but it's really between Naomi and Bayley versus Candice, Tiffany, and Nia. And really, it's really Tiffany just trying to weave her way into trying to cash in money in a bank at some point. That was easily the obvious decision. And people clearly did not just see that shit. I don't know what it was, but people that sitting there saying that was no storyline. I truly believe that. I totally agree with y'all. It was no storyline outside of Rhea and Liv. And even in that storyline, it was stupid. I like this shit needs to die. It needs to die tomorrow. Which brings me to the other match, but I talk about that. Nah, I talk about that right now, because that's exactly what the fuck is the next match for me. And that's Gunther versus Damian Priest for the World Heavyweight Championship. I gave this 5 stars. Thought it was a great match. Liked it a little bit. I actually like it more than the SummerSlam match. I thought the SummerSlam match was good, but I like the fact it, man, you know what? We gotta give Damian Priest his fucking credit, man. We gotta give that man his flowers. This man had an injury at Clash at the Castle with Drew McIntyre. Remember that? He had the move, and he kind of like got his knee caught on the rope, and that parlayed him in the match with Drew McIntyre the whole night. Until CM Punk came out and screwed Drew McIntyre at Clash at the Castle. Look at tonight. He injures his shoulder with Gunther and immediately starts to sell it. And I mean immediately. And you just like, oh, this man is a fucking goat at this shit. He is good. Because I thought this motherfucker really popped his fucking shoulder. I like the same thing with his leg. And at Clash of the Castle, you're like, you're looking at this saying, like, this motherfucker really hurt? I don't know if his shoulders really hurt. I don't know. I don't know. You wrestled with a situation like that the whole night and it was that easily, affected. You probably shouldn't be wrestling. Especially nowadays where wrestling, where WWE kind of now has more of a health protocol going into these types of matches. But him selling the shoulder was beautiful. I thought this was tier, top tier, incredible. I love matches where a person can work a body part. And you don't want to give that injury to a ranked general like Gotha. You don't want to do that. You don't want to do that. He may or may not be on my top 10 list of wrestlers. He may or may not. I'm not gonna say if he is or isn't. But it's the ranked general. Gunther is one of my favorite wrestlers. He's one of my favorite wrestlers. I've been watching this man. I watched this man's debut. I remember this man debuting on Pete Dunne. Had the Pete Dunne and Joe Coffey had this incredible fucking match for the NXT UK Championship. I watched this man's debut. Which, by the way, they need to bring back his old music. I don't know if you can't really use it. That's probably why you can't really bring it back. But his old music was perfect. It was fucking perfect. What's the boys? It was perfect. Right down to the right atom. It was perfect. It was fucking perfect, man. Gunther and Damian Priest was a hell of a match, man. Like I said, like I am one of the, maybe I am an old school fucking wrestling guy. I don't know what it is, but when I saw him get injured, I said, "Oh shit!" I said, "Oh shit, that's not good." I said, "Oh, that's not good," because I knew exactly what was about to happen. Gunther's about to work the shit out that shoulder. He is about to do damage to that shoulder, and that's exactly what he did, man. That's exactly what he did. He did an amazing job. Damian Priest again, man. He sold the fuck out that shoulder. Oh my God. That man sold the shit out that shoulder. The match all in all was good. It was really fucking good. Again, I knew the ending was coming. I knew it was coming. And that is Finn Balor screwing Damian Priest. I knew it was coming. Because Damian Priest is going to screw Finn. I literally said this. I said if we're gonna have this bullshit finish, like I knew Finn was gonna get screwed, was gonna screw Damian Priest. Then had the fucking Judgment Day tag team titles also on the line at this pay-per-view. I get why you don't do it. Maybe they fight this Monday on Raw and you have the. No, you already had the damn tag team title match. Like, it's so fucking stupid to do it now. Like, it didn't make any sense for Finn Balor to have the belts. See, this shit was ass backwards. And this is why I feel like this was a complete and ass backwards decision to do this shit. The match was great. The finish is ass fucking backwards. I don't like the finish. I think it was very stupid. Finn already had his title match. So what the fuck is the point of him coming out to screw fucking Damian Priest? It didn't make any fucking sense. If you were not gonna have this, if you was not gonna have them lose the belts, then okay, do that shit. But the fact that Finn and them have still the tag team titles, you don't really have a tag team in sight that's going to fight them anytime soon. What the fuck is the point? I don't get the shit. What, you're gonna sit there and tell me they're not gonna have a rematch with the fucking War Raiders? For fucking what reason? It doesn't make any fucking sense. This shit was so ass backwards. If this was the case, you should have just had Gunther and Damian Priest have a match. You should have had Damian Priest and Gunther. You should have had. The War Raiders should have beaten Judgment Day. So if you did this move, then Finn has no title, nothing holding him back, and then you can have Damian Priest and him fight. Me personally, again, like I've said numerous times, I do not care about Damian Priest and Finn Balor fighting. It's the same way I feel about Rhea Ripley and Liv Morgan. I do not give a fuck in the fucking feud. It's boring. The shit is prolonging. It shouldn't be this fucking long. This is the one knock on Triple H I do agree with people. He does not know when it's time to end a fucking storyline. He needs to cut this shit the fuck off. It's over. Give Rhea the belt back. We're done. Let Finn and Damian have one final. This is my problem. Finn's going to be Damian again, and Damian's going to want his get back. I don't care. Now, if you're going to keep that shit on Monday Night fucking Raw, cool. My problem with this is that it's ass fucking backwards. Finn should not be champion anymore. Tonight would have made sense if they would have lost the belts. The fact that Finn came out just to screw Damian Priest and then Gunther kicked him in the face. Now, some people are gonna see this clip and think I'm delusional and I'm crazy and that why would you say that? That no, it makes total sense. No, the fuck it doesn't. No, it doesn't. They should have lost clean, and then Finn gets pissed off that he lost the belts to the point where he's like, you know what? Fuck this. I'm gonna go get what I really want. And that is the World Heavyweight Championship. It does not make sense for Finn to be the tag team champion and then still want to be the fucking World Heavyweight Champion. What fucking sense would that make? What sense does that make? That's what keeps you in a fucked up booking situation. Finn wants to be World Heavyweight Champion. We clearly fucking know this. But he's the fucking tag team champion. Make that shit make sense. People that sit here and act like they know what the fuck they be talking about is the reason for why wrestling companies go with a fuck out of fucking company, out of business. Because you motherfuckers will sit there with your dying heart and say, that makes sense. No, the fuck it does not. This is dumbass booking. Ass backwards booking. That's stupid. Finn and them should have lost the fucking belts. Period. If Finn and Damian Priest are going to be the fucking end game still to this dumbass situation, I don't know why. Now, I've been saying this. I called this shit. I literally said this shit. I said, if Damian Priest is going to win that final four-way match, it doesn't make any sense. You should have just let Damian Priest. You should have just had Sheamus win the final four-way. Because at least Sheamus and Gunther would have just gave you a title match, gave you a match. And then Damian Priest could have got his get back whenever the Judgment Day fought the Royal Raiders. And that screwed the Judgment Day out the belts. You know, and then now and then you could go into the next stage of the Finn and Damian Priest rivalry with nobody with a belt. And then they would have the reason for what? Gunther would still be the champion because you're not gonna let Gunther lose to fucking Sheamus. You could have literally just had you could have even put Seth Rollins on Survivor Series. I don't fucking know. You could have done something. This made no fucking sense. Like I said, the match all in all was great. The ending fucking stupid. I don't understand. This is ass. This is backwards ass booking. Like, I don't get this shit. Why would you put Finn and Damian Priest back in a situation? And the thing is like Damian Priest, yes, he's one of the reasons for why Finn went at him tonight, but let's be 100. The real reason is because Finn wants the World Heavyweight Championship. So he's still the tag team champion? What fucking sense does that make? Come on, man. And then, like I said, who the fuck is gonna fight this nigga? Who's gonna fight the fucking Judgment Day now? Who's the tag team that's going against these motherfuckers? You ain't putting them against the Wyatts. You ain't putting them against Final Testament. You could put them against. I'm tired of them going against LOWO. You don't. You know, American Made. I can easily see the Creeds beating them, which I would fucking love it. I think that makes more fucking sense than anything. And then have them go against the War Raiders and have that be a fucking 7-game series. Now that's some shit I watch easily on TV. All day, every day. No problem. But this shit was stupid. Finn did not need to be out there. Damian Priest did not need to lose that way to fucking because of Finn Balor. Now you keep Damian Priest fucking strong because he kind of lost because of Finn Balor. You keep Gunther in a situation where he technically didn't really beat Damian Priest clean. He didn't beat Damian Priest because he was just a better wrestler. He beat Damian Priest like he won the World Heavyweight Championship the first time, which is Finn Balor. So you kind of kill two birds with one stone with that, but at the same time, it just makes it look fucking stupid. It's stupid. I don't. Oh my God, it's stupid, man. It's very dumb. It's very dumb. I don't like the ending of this match. I gave it 5 stars because of the two competitors in the match. Very great competitors, really good wrestlers. I gave them 5 stars because of that. But outside of that, the ending was ass backwards. I thought this was a very stupid ending. I thought it was a very stupid ending. Matter of fact, because of the ending, I'm actually gonna bump it down to 4.5 stars. Because I don't want to see Finn and fucking Damian Priest again. I'm sorry, I've seen it already. It was cool. It was all right, I guess, nigga. Like, I don't want to see that shit again. I'm sorry. Like, I'm not like everybody else is like, keep giving it at me. No, I'm done with this story. This storyline needs to die. The fact that you didn't take the belts off the Judgment Day on top of that pisses me off even more. What's the point? What is the 4.5 stars. 4.5 stars, man. Now I'm thinking about it, that ending pissed me off so much because it's just like, why the fuck was Finn even out there? Why? The ending itself is so stupid. It's so ass backwards. Like, I just fucking don't like those types of situations. Because those types of situations put yourself in such a booking situation. It's so fucking stupid. It doesn't make any sense. Finn did not need to be out there. He didn't. Like, and then on top of that, the fact that you just literally let them keep the belts on fucking Monday night over the War Raiders for no fucking reason. Them dudes had two defenses of the title. The New Day was like in fucking May, and then literally November, which was Monday night against the fucking War Raiders, bro. Like, come on, man. Like, no, man. And I already know what the fuck is gonna happen. Damian Priest is gonna get his get back by screwing the Judgment Day out the tag team titles. Here's my thing: who the fuck is the Judgment Day gonna fight? Who are they gonna fight? Who is the team? Who the fuck is the team they're fighting now? It just, oh my God, the War Raiders is the perfect team to take the titles off of. It made sense. Now we gotta wait, what, 3 fucking weeks to get the fucking belts off these dudes? What the fuck was, what the, what's the point? Like, it just, oh my God, that fucking ending was stupid. That booking was ass backwards. I don't, I'm very pissed off by that, but I am really mad. Like, this shit was so fucking stupid. And on top of it, I don't care about Damian Priest and Finn Balor no more. I physically just don't give a fuck about the Judgment Day. I don't care about them. I don't give a fuck about them. Get the belt off of Liv. Let Liv and Raquel go do their own shit, like I've been said. Let Dominic Mysterio, if you want to keep Liv and Dominic together, okay, cool, do it. But I don't see the point of having them together either after they break up the Judgment Day. What's the point? JD could go to SmackDown or keep him with Finn. I don't give a shit. Let them keep the Judgment Day name. I don't care. Finn's a solo star. He wants to be a solo star. Kalito needs to go do his own shit. Whatever the fuck that is. Him and Ryan, or him and R2 would be a funny ass tag team because they would just be a comedy act. Nobody takes them serious. I mean, that's some Vince shit, but I know it'd be put on NXT and maybe they could really do some damage. It just ass backwards, man. I don't like the booking because Finn's still champion and he's in another fucking storyline. Get the belts off these dudes first, and then you want to go back to Damian Priest and Finn Balor, cool. But as long as they got the fucking belts, bro, Finn needs to focus on the fucking belts. And that's my problem with the fucking tag team division is that's my problem with tag champions in wrestling ever. It's like, bro, I don't need you in two different storylines. You are the champion and have no competitors, no opponents. But then you want me to care about when you go against somebody in a way different storyline as n I mean, you Does Damian Priest take the tag team titles off of Finn Balor and JD McDonagh? But who the fuck is the tag team? Who teams up with Damian Priest? See, now you're backing yourself into another fucking corner. Like, maybe Penta? Maybe Penta Go? Maybe? I can see him go. He would do better on SmackDown. I don't think that would make sense. He would do better on SmackDown. Maybe you take Dragon Lee out of LWO and put him with Damian Priest. I would actually prefer that better than fucking him being on fucking LWO. I actually think I think you're wasting Dragon Lee's fucking talent, to be honest, which I think Dragon Lee should be back in NXT. Because him fighting for the NXT championship would be way more fucking better than what the fuck we got right now in NXT for the fucking NXT championship every fucking week. I'm just not a fan of fucking Rich Holland and Ethan Page and I love Trick, but Trick should not be fucking NXT champion. I'm sorry. It's just, this shit just, there's so many other people you get that fucking belt to, bro. Obafemi should easily be champion right now. I get that you're trying, like I say all the time about NXT. I'll talk about that next week. But me personally, I would take Dragon Lee out of LWO and put him with Damian Priest and let them go against Finn and JD McDonagh and get the tag team titles off of them. But even in that, but at least that story, both of those storylines would coexist. This bullshit don't make no sense. For Finn to still be tag team champions but still want to have a problem with Damian Priest is fucking stupid. It's fucking stupid. And then you cost this man a fucking belt tonight. It don't. That alone pissed me off. 4.5 stars. I'm gonna try to get off this Judgment Day Finn battle Damian Priest shit. I'm so fucking mad at that shit. It's so fucking stupid. I'm just, man. Gunther's a beast. Gunther's a goddamn beast. I see a lot of people also saying, oh man, you should take the belt off of Gunther. Why? 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 Stop sitting here and trying to tell me who the fuck should be champion, because everybody else y'all put in the scenario, you want to see them be champion for a week, for 2 weeks, and then they had the belt for a longer period, extended time period, and you're like, man, this shit's stupid. It don't make no sense. Gunther is a champion. He is the best champion. Leave that man the fuck alone. Let that man be the champ. I don't see Gunther dropping the belt anytime soon. If I was them, I would have Gunther had a belt until SummerSlam of 2025. He drops the belt at MetLife. Now, to who? That's for the people to decide. I can see John Cena. A lot of people saying John Cena needs to beat him, go against him at WrestleMania. Fuck no. Why the fuck would that happen? Who the fuck thinks that's a good idea? No, John Cena should not be going against Gunther at WrestleMania. Why? So he can lose? The fuck would be the point of that? I don't know what you do with Gunther at WrestleMania. That's a hard thing to do because clearly CM Punk and Seth Rollins is the option. That's the one option. Clearly, that's going to be the option. I don't think, I truly believe what fucked him was Ilya Dragunov getting hurt, because I think that was going to be the WrestleMania match. It was going to be Ilya Dragunov versus Gunther for the World Heavyweight Championship. I really do believe that was going to be the WrestleMania match. Ilya got hurt. Ilya got hurt, and then you had to switch. You had to change directions. So I don't know who the fuck you put with Gunther. Maybe you put him against Ludwig Kaiser, but I don't. Me per shit, Bron Breakker. I mean, I liked the idea at first. I thought it was a great idea when you kind of try to make Bron a face at first. I don't know how Bron gets there. I can see him win the Royal Rumble. I mean, it'd be something by somebody new. I see people saying, give it to Roman, give it to John Cena, give it to this. If you're gonna move this direction, and this is how, because Cody WrestleMania decision is up for grabs. I don't know what you do with that. This is what I will book for WrestleMania. I will book John Cena and Logan Paul. John Cena does not need the belt right now. What the fuck would be the point? John Cena needs to build himself up to become WWE or World Heavyweight Champion. That shit would not make any fucking sense for him just to come out because it's his last year and be champion. It's fucking stupid. My direction has always been Cody, Randy. That's WrestleMania. Done. Now, I don't know how you give Randy the. I personally think Randy should just win the Elimination Chamber. That'd be a way smarter idea. And he beat John Cena to do it. He beat John Cena to actually get the fucking. Get the WrestleMania title match with Cody for the Royal Rumble. That's the hard one. I don't know who should win the Royal Rumble. That's a hard one. But I can easily see Bron Breakker. I think if you let Bron Breakker drop the belt to Ludwig Kaiser or Bronson Reed. Bronson Reed versus Sheamus for the Intercontinental Championship, or Ludwig Kaiser versus Sheamus and Bronson Reed for the Intercontinental Championship at WrestleMania. I'm with it. Let's do it. That's a hell of a triple threat match. I think Bronson Reed versus Sheamus versus Ludwig Kaiser for the Intercontinental Championship would be dope as a motherfucker. Why not? Let's do it. I think that'd be a dope ass fucking match. I think a lot of people would think that'd be crazy, but and then Sheamus has his. Now I don't know if you put him in the one. Ludwig Kaiser needs something. I think Brian Breaker versus Gunther would be dope. It'd be a dope ass match at WrestleMania. I think it'd be a dope ass match. And CM Punk and Seth Rollins is clearly gonna fight each other at WrestleMania, so we could kill that. Maybe Drew McIntyre. Gunther versus Drew. I seen him at SummerSlam in Detroit. It was a cool match. It wasn't the match I thought it would be. I don't know. You've already ran through Damian Priest and Gunther, so you're not gonna do that again. Gunther's a hard one. Royal Rumble is a hard one, but I know one thing: it should not be John Cena. Maybe you let Randy Orton win it, but then you will have to have Randy Orton tie Stone Cold Steve Austin, and you're not gonna let John Cena tie Stone Cold. Then you're not gonna let Randy Orton tie Stone Cold. That's the thing. Randy Orton or John Cena's got to win the Elimination Chamber. Randy's probably gonna win the Elimination Chamber. I don't see the point of that. The Royal Rumble is about making a new star. It would not make a new star if you give it just to fucking Randy Orton or John Cena. That's just lazy ass fucking booking. That's just really lazy fucking booking. I believe you need to give the Royal Rumble to a new star. Rather that be Bron Breakker, Luven Kaiser. Maybe Luven gets hot in the next couple months. I don't know. Yeah, you don't need to give it to a veteran. It just wouldn't make any sense. What would be the point? What would be the point? It don't make sense. What would be the fucking point? Yeah, but that ending was so stupid. I gave it 4.5 stars. That ending was fucking dumb. Now, two matches, 5 stars. My first 5-star match is Bron Breakker versus Sheamus versus Luven Kaiser for the Intercontinental Championship triple threat match. Like I just said, Sheamus is clearly going to get the Intercontinental Championship at WrestleMania. It's kind of obvious right now. If you don't think that, I don't know how to help you. Luven Kaiser and Sheamus is going to get the Intercontinental Championship at WrestleMania. You have two people that could go against Gunther at WrestleMania, and one's Bron Breakker and the other one's Luven Kaiser. I can easily see Luven Kaiser and Gunther fighting at WrestleMania. And Luven Kaiser turns on Bron Breakker. You've already sowed the seeds of Bron Breakker, pretty much telling him, go do it on your own. You don't need me. That can create the energy of Bron Breakker being like, fuck that. I want your belt. Now, I think he loses. That's a safe bet that he loses. Gunther keeps the belt. Like I said, if you can build it, which I think Triple H can. You can build Gunther versus Luven Kaiser for WrestleMania. You can do it. Oh, you can easily do it. Because Luven Kaiser wants Gunther's spot. He thinks he's not. He sees Gunther starting to not have confidence. And then again, what has been the story? Gunther is starting to lose his confidence. He's starting to lose that oomph, that shit that made him Gunther, the Ring General. Luven Kaiser's seeing this. He's telling them all of the shit. No, I still see the Ring General. I still see the man that, I've been watching since we were kids, and I still see that. No, he doesn't. He knows he doesn't. So that's the perfect person to build to go against Gunther. Now, like I said, does he win the fucking Royal Rumble? I don't know. That's a hard thing to sell to me. I don't know if Luven Kaiser could win it. But from November to February 1st, December, January, you got enough time to make him a worthy competitor for the Royal Rumble. You have enough time. You can put him in the ring with certain people on Raw. He can beat Seth Rollins. I don't know if you put him in the ring with CM Punk and he beat CM Punk. I don't know. But what I do believe is that you can build Luven Kaiser to be the one that goes against Gunther at WrestleMania. You can build it. Oh, you can fucking build it now. Don't get it twisted. You can build it. That's a crazier one for a lot of people. That's probably the one that nobody would actually even think of. I've seen people say, let Gunther and Luven Kaiser fight, but the belt's not on the line. No, that needs to be on the line because Gunther's confidence is shaky. And the more Gunther continues to have these matches where somebody's coming out to help him, because this is the one thing about, see, this is the one thing about Gunther. Matches that I've always said, Gunther doesn't really need help. in those matches. He can just beat you straight up. But now he's getting help. Now he's getting the people coming out to help him. So now you're having a situation where Gunther is losing the confidence that he can beat somebody one-on-one. And who the fuck you think sees that more than anyone? His right-hand fucking man, Leuven Kaiser. You don't think he sees that shit? You can easily build that story. You can build it. Oh, you can build it. Now, like I said, Leuven Kaiser is a simpler decision. Like I said, I don't know how you build Leuven Kaiser to become the Royal Rumble winner. I don't think you let the Elimination Chamber to me is Randy Orton's. I don't think you let Randy win the Royal Rumble. Like I said, if you're not gonna let John Cena win it for the third time, you're not gonna let Randy Orton win it for the third fucking time. That don't make any sense. You need a new star. You need a new guy to win it. Leuven Kaiser makes the most sense to go against Gunther. But Bron Breakker makes really the sense. And like I said, do you take the belt off of Bron Breakker? Now, I've been saying Bron Breakker needs to lose the belt to Bronson Reed. I think Bronson Reed should be the Intercontinental Champion at some point, maybe before WrestleMania. Maybe he wins at WrestleMania. I don't fucking know. Maybe Sheamus gets a one. Sheamus got took the pin tonight, so I don't think he's getting a one-on-one match anytime soon. But this is the thing about the situation right now. I really believe if you're Bron Breakker. Now, some people are like, what if he fights Goldberg at WrestleMania? I guess that could work. I guess. I get what people also was like, you can't have two heels go against each other. I don't believe that shit. I don't believe that bullshit. You can't have two faces and two heels going against each other. You could do it. You just gotta book it the right way. I think Triple H is smart enough to know how to book a fucking match like that. That's the thing. I think Triple H knows how to book a heel versus heel match. Bron Breakker would easily be the face. Bron Breakker would easily be the face. It's fucking simple. Like, Bron will easily be the face. He's got the most pops. He gets the most reactions. When Bron and Gunther went up against each other in that backstage segment, you saw it right in and there. They can do it. It's something else that you, like I said, even if you don't go in Bron Gunther's direction, Leuven Kaiser would be the heel and Gunther would be the face because Leuven Kaiser would turn on Gunther. It seems like you people sit there and think like you can't book a heel in a heel, you can't book a face in a face. That's the fuck you can. You just gotta book it the right way. The story's got to line up the right way. You can easily book it. You just gotta have the right people doing it. Leuven Kaiser portrays Gunther. Gunther instantly might become the face. Bron Breakker wins the Royal Rumble, gets the reactions that he gets, he's now a face. You saw it for a week when they teased that Bron Breakker would be a face. You saw the fans react to him. You can do it. Like I said, you got two people in his match that can easily go against Gunther for the World Heavyweight Championship at WrestleMania. Easily. Like I said, the easier decision is probably Leuven Kaiser. I think Luke in Gunther is actually more of the easier decision because there's already a built-in story there. Bron's a harder one, but Bron can win a Royal Rumble, and then you can build it that way. It's very simple. It's not as hard as people think it is. But the Luke, Van Kaiser, and Gunther one is way easier because there's already history there. There's already a story there. Gunther is losing confidence. Who the fuck sees that more than his right-hand fucking man? So what do you think he wants to do? Take a spot. You're weak. I can beat you. You don't think Leuven Kaiser is going to eventually say, you know what? Fuck this. I don't need Gunther. Gunther's telling them, bro, you can do this on your own. What you think is going to really catapult him to say that? Him taking out Gunther and going for the World Heavyweight Championship. What's a better way to do that than to win a Royal Rumble? The match was awesome, though. This was a really great match. Three people that could really go in the ring. Gunther is Bron Breakker is a fucking freak of nature, like his fucking uncle. like his fucking uncle. If he does a Steinemath promo, I know he's done it a couple times, but if he really does a Steinemath promo, he might be my favorite wrestler. Like he might immediately become my favorite wrestler. If he does one Steiner Matt promo, I'm like, you know what, dog? You got it, bro. You got it, bro. Sheamus is a beast. Sheamus will be Intercontinental Champion. I don't know when you give him the belt. I don't know if you do it at WrestleMania. Like I said, I don't. Sheamus is gonna be champion. I just don't know how you do it. I get if you want to give him that WrestleMania moment. I get it, but it's starting to be like how I feel about NXT. It gets to the point where it's too fucking long, and then people are not gonna lose interest in Sheamus getting the belt because that's not the problem. It's who the fuck he's gonna beat to get the belt. That is where you run into the problem. And if it's Bronson Reed, then how the fuck does Bronson Reed get the belt? Because you're not gonna put Bronson Reed in the match against Bron Breakker just 1-on-1 for no reason. It's gotta be a reason attached. Do you do another tournament? I hope not. But if you do just a regular old Bronson Reed versus Bron Breakker, he wants to test himself against Bronson Reed, and Bronson Reed just Bron Breakker does that young shit that in that taking it for granted shit. And he loses, it would make sense. It would make sense. The match was great, though. The match was great. A lot of moves. Brian came out of nowhere on Ludwig Kaiser one time in this match. It was just like, where the fuck did he come from? You're like, where the fuck did he just come from? The ending was great. I thought it was a very smart way of ending the match. Ludwig Kaiser using the shillelagh. To pretty much hurt Sheamus, put him in a position where he couldn't really use his brute strength to you really don't understand how hard it is to hit certain moves when you can't fucking breathe. Like him trying to hit the bro kick out of nowhere, him lifting people up, him selling the rails was beautiful. It was a great idea. It was beautiful. It made sense. Bron beating Sheamus clean though, it was kind of like, I don't know about that, but again, like I said, clearly that's not the direction you're going in. So clearly, Braun is not going to be the champion when Sheamus does win the belt. So what's the direction? Now, I can see you giving it to Ludwig Kaiser, but like I said, what does Gunther do at WrestleMania now? Now you can do Braun and Gunther, which makes more fucking sense. But I don't think you're going to continuously push the Ludwig Kaiser Sheamus rivalry too long. I think you're going to kill it at some point before the end of the year, maybe even in the beginning of next year. But that's gonna end at the probably a Royal Rumble. I think Ludwig Kaiser is gonna win the Royal Rumble. I really do. So yeah. And last but not least, the match of the night. Come on, what the fuck did you think was gonna be the match of the night? The fucking War Games match. OG Bloodline versus Bloodline 2.0. Come on, man. It's five fucking stars. It's the match of the fucking night. Come on now. This was intensity. Story. In greatness. This was the most. This. This was the best blood. The Raw Games match, Men's War Games match, since the War Games match with the Bloodline and the Brawling Brutes. The storyline is rich. It makes fucking sense. Last year's storyline was cool. Cody brought in Jay, which inadvertently transformed everybody on Raw to not liking Jay, which Cody, Sammy defended him, and Seth jumped in it, and Randy Orton came back. There was a lot of shit going on last year at last year's Survivor Series War Games. Last year, I gave it to the women. The women easily had the better War Games match. Anybody that sit there and tell you that the women did not have the better War Games match, you are fucking delusional. You are lying to yourself, sir. Stop doing it to yourself. This year it was all men, man. Men got the dub this time. This was beautiful. This was storytelling at its finest. The fact that the OG Bloodline is the last team standing, and Solo's in the middle, and he's like, and you can hear Solo clear as fucking day and say, "I'm still a tribal chief." And the fucking Usos teed off on that nigga. Sammy hit that boy with the Cholula kick. CM Punk hit that boy with that go to sleep. Oh, that shit was over. And then Roman speared him. Oh, man. Jacob Fatu is not human. I'm starting to realize that man is not human. That man's not human, bro. Ain't no way in hell that nigga human. Ain't no way. I love the fact that he also, because there was no way in hell if he was healthy in this match that the OG Bloodline was winning this fucking match. Let's be real. He had to fake an injury. He had to fake an injury. God Almighty, he had to fake an injury. This match was great. The fucking intensity of just the two of them walk. I literally posted a couple pictures before I jumped on this of just CM Punk and Roman Reigns in the fucking cage, the shark cage, sitting on a stage together. CM Punk's about to go out there and help the Usos. It's Vantage, Bloodline 2.0. If I go out there and help the Usos, what does Roman do? Step right in front of him. Oh no. Oh no. I don't trust you. Sammy, you go out there and handle that first. He go out there and they help the Usos. Cool. But just the fact that that story was so rich, I need people to understand something. I kind of knew CM Punk was going to probably be in this Bloodline storyline, in this War Games match with the Bloodline. It made more sense. Like I said, it was too many layers that you had to go through to get Seth to be in this storyline with the Bloodline. It wouldn't make any fucking sense. Why would Seth join the Bloodline? Why? He had no reason to join the Bloodline. None. This made all of the sense in the world that CM Punk was the person because, again, CM Punk and Paul Heyman. This goes back to Paul Heyman going up to CM Punk in Chicago in June and literally telling them, I need a favor. This was clearly the favor. CM Punk helped Roman Reigns and the Bloodline. In a return, CM Punk gets a favor. Everybody's now asking, what the fuck is the favor? Of course, I'm in a wrestling chat group with my family, Straight Through the Ropes. Shout out to them. And I literally said after the segment that came on last night, I literally said the favor is going to be that Paul Heyman leaves the Bloodline storyline. And he joins CM Punk again. Because CM Punk cannot handle his friend getting put through a fucking table by the new Bloodline. This is the thing again on TV for people on social media. If you guys were story writers for this fucking show, I would turn the fucking TV off. What sense would it make for fucking Paul Heyman to join the new Bloodline when they physically put his ass through a table? Solo spiked this man. Jacob Fatu did the fucking moonsault off the fucking top rope on this man. And then they triple power bombed him like the Shield. And y'all was on TV, was like, he dressed like Solo. This must mean he's joining Solo. No, nigga. That was the same shit Solo was wearing when he put him through the table in Madison Square Garden. Y'all didn't realize that? Y'all didn't realize that? That was the same shit he wore when he put him through the table at Madison Square Garden. But let y'all tell it. Y'all are fucking intelligent. And you know what the fuck you're talking about. No, the fuck you don't. Like, I literally watched these videos for like the last couple of weeks just to see if I was tripping. And if it's not that, then I'll tell you what it was. It was the night that he asked CM Punk for the favor in Chicago. It was the night he asked CM Punk for the favor in Chicago. It's the only two clues. It is the night they put him through the table in MSG, or it's the night when he asked CM Punk for the favor in Chicago. So to sit there and tell me, oh, Paul Heyman's gonna join the Bloodline, the new Bloodline. Why? Why? Why would he join a new Bloodline? It makes no sense. Why? This match was great. Storyline. The fact that the new Bloodline is dangerous than the OG Bloodline. That the new Bloodline, like I said, is a like I said at the end of Crown Jewel, that the new Bloodline is actually a team. And they're loyal to Solo, while everybody on the OG Bloodline It's individuals. Until Paul Heyman comes back. This was great, storyline-wise. I don't know what CM Punk's gonna be. I don't know what CM Punk's favorite is gonna be. Me personally, like I said, I think CM Punk asked Paul Heyman to get the fuck out the Bloodline storyline. Leave the Bloodline alone. When he sees down Roman Reigns last night, and he tells Roman Reigns, "I did this because of my friend, our wise man." What you mean our? What you mean our? And then CM Punk leaves the table, and Roman looks at Paul Heyman and is like, "What's the favor?" What's the favor? He's like, "Listen, man, can we just get through? Can we get through War Games? Can we just get through War Games?" This shit was awesome, man. I love the fact that how this all set up. Solo did it. He jumped in front of Tamaloa, and he stopped him and told Jacob Fatu to go in the ring instead of Tamaloa to go help out his brother Tamatanga and Bronson Reed. Jacob goes out. It's fucking Jacob Fatu. Shit different, bro. That shit different, bro. That shit is different. I love the fact CM Punk is the one that saved Roman Reigns off the table. Bronson Reed goes through it. I love the fact that that happened because it made Roman Reigns realize, like, oh shit, like this man just saved me. Like, I can trust him. Which brings me to really what this all looks like. I cannot wait to Monday Night Raw because Seth Rollins' crash out is going to be motherfucking top tier. That motherfucking crash out going to be extra special. Oh, that shit gonna be legendary. Oh my god, he gonna crash the fuck out, bro. This shit, boy, that shit top 25 crash out of the year. Like, this shit gonna be top tier level nuclear crash out. Oh my god, Seth Rollins is gonna lose his shit. And then on top of that, he shook hands with Roman Reigns. Not only that, you saved this motherfucker. You saved him from Bronson Reed. Where the fuck were you when I was getting tsunami, bitch? Like, what was you? Yo, this shit gonna be top fucking tier. Oh my god, Kevin Owens and Seth Rollins are truly the two people that stood on business when it came to the Bloodline. They're like, man, fuck the Bloodline. You really think I'm about to sell my body for these bitches? Fuck them niggas. Man, that shit is legendary, bro. Them motherfuckers gonna crack, boy. That shit gonna be a legendary crash out. Oh, I can't wait. Oh, that shit gonna be top tier. The fact that Seth is going to lose his shit when CM Punk comes back because he helped Roman Reigns out. And not just helped him. They won. They won. See, people don't understand. Helping him is one thing. Winning the fucking match, which means he's back in the mindset of, I'm still the tribal chief. You gave Roman Reigns all the ammo he needed to become the tribal chief again. You gave him all the ammo he needed. Helping him is one thing. Winning the fucking match and now giving Roman Reigns pretty much the power back. Oh, that's gonna be top tier. See, people always say, oh, just no, it's CM Punk helping CM Punk helping Roman Reigns because he did. No, it's way helping him is one thing. You won, you beat Solo, you beat the fucking Bloodline, you beat the new Bloodline, which means Roman is now back in the mindset like, oh, I could be Tribal Chief again. You don't want that. You don't want that. You don't want that. I clearly see where this is going, which is Roman versus Solo at Saturday Night Main Event. Yeah, I've been saying this shit for a while. Roman already alluded to it because he's already told Solo, I want to fight you one on one. He's already alluded to this. So clearly they're going to fight one on one. It's going to probably happen at Saturday Night Main Event to officially put to bed who is the original, who is the only tribal chief that is clearly going to happen at Saturday Night Main Event. And ladies and gentlemen, this is when The Rock comes back, because motherfuckers are delusional and keep saying, "The Rock coming back, The Rock coming back." This is when The Rock comes back. This is when The Rock comes back. And I tell you why I said The Rock's coming back for this. Because of when Roman beats Solo, there's nobody that's standing in his way anymore to be the head of the table, except for one man who it hasn't truly, yay or nay, if he still acknowledges him. And that is The Rock. I told y'all, when Jimmy came back, what did he tell Roman in the first promo? "I am the only one in the family that still acknowledges you." You don't think that plays into the situation? If Roman beats Solo and gets the Ulafala back, which Paul Heyman is now by his side again for now, what does that really tell you? He gets the Ulafala back, but is he still a chief with no tribe? Is he really the head of the table? You got a bunch of individuals now. You don't have this tight-knit family like you had last time. This is different. Jay's his own man. Sammy's his own man. Jimmy is somewhat tied and tethered to you, but in some reality, he's his own man. He's not gonna run behind you like he did the first time. Maybe not. I don't fucking know. I haven't really seen him in a situation where he needs to have that happen yet. But I'm telling y'all now, that's when The Rock comes back. The Rock is gonna come back when he gets the Ulafala. When he finally puts that bitch around his neck and he finally can say, "I am now the tribal chief again." Then that's when you hear, "If you smack," that's when The Rock comes back. That's when he comes back. Because he will then officially have a reason to come back. Because Roman is now the tribal chief again. More importantly, he's the head of the table again. No, you're not. No, you're not. Because this goes back to what I've been said about this fucking storyline. You said to be the head of the table, to be the tribal chief, you need to be champion. You ain't champion. You ain't the guy. Cody is. Cody's a champion. Cody's the guy. The fuck are you? You are a fake tribal chief. You ain't the head of the table. You're my little cousin, Joe. That's what you are. Nothing more, nothing less. I'm the head of the table. I'm the final fucking boss. Now watch me go do what you couldn't do. And that's beat Cody Rhodes. Cody and Roman, The Rock are gonna fight. I don't think it should happen at WrestleMania. I've been said that shit. What would be the point? What would be the point? Not the Royal Rumble. Cody versus Rock at the Royal Rumble? Cody versus The Rock at the Royal Rumble. You need a massive stamp. You need a massive moment. Cody versus The Rock at the Royal Rumble. Yeah, that'll work. And then Roman screws The Rock. That works. That works for me. I don't know about anybody else. That works for me. The Rock's coming back and saying that main event. Because Roman's gonna be Solo. And somebody needs to oppose him. And then next Friday night on SmackDown, that's when the plan of the 2 point, the new bloodline, really takes shape. They kick Solo the fuck out because The Rock is back. And now they're rolling with Jacob Fatu as the guy. Now, I can easily see them maybe keeping Bronson Reed in it. I can see that. That wouldn't fate. I would actually love that. He fits the fuck in. He is Samoan. Why not? But I've been told y'all what this is gonna go to. What this is gonna lead to? This has been built up to this fucking point, which is Roman and Solo's gonna have a match. Roman's gonna beat Solo in said match. And then once he beats Roman Solo and gets the Ulafala back, what the fuck do you think is gonna happen? The Rock is gonna come back. Nobody's opposing Roman after that. Solo's lost. What the fuck can Solo do? He's not a fucking factor now. It doesn't matter. Who matters? The Rock. This has been the fucking build. This is what it's been. This is it. I don't know if you do it the first SmackDown that moves to 3 hours on SmackDown because The Rock's not fighting on fucking SmackDown. Get the shit out of here. Get the fuck out of here. But the Royal Rumble? I can see that. And then at the Elimination Chamber, Cody fights Roman because Rock got screwed by Roman. So Roman gets his shot back at Cody. But then The Rock comes back and he screws him. And that's how you set up the WrestleMania match. This is not hard. This is not as difficult as people make it. If you book it like that shit is easy. That's a fucking dub. Layup. Easy. And like I said, CM Punk is gonna fight Seth Rollins at WrestleMania. We clearly know that's coming. Hope CM Punk's not hurt because I saw him clenching his elbow a lot in this match. He always does that. I guess he's always checking to see if he kind of tore his pec. But yeah. But that's how this Bloodline storyline is gonna end for this moment, which is Roman and Solo is gonna fight at Saturday Night Main Event. Roman's gonna beat him. Clearly get the Ulafala back, but then you're gonna hear if you smell, and it's just gonna be like, what the fuck? And then that's how you're gonna create the Roman versus Rock situation. Rock is gonna probably go against Cody at Royal Rumble. He's gonna lose because of Roman. Roman's gonna get his shot at Cody at the Elimination Chamber. He's gonna lose because of the Rock. And then you get the Rock versus Cody, I mean Rock versus Roman at WrestleMania. Get Cody versus Randy. Gunther versus Ludwig. Yeah. That's that shit. That sounds like Seth versus CM Punk. That sounds like hell of a WrestleMania to me. I mean, I tune the fuck in for that shit. He's all day, every day. No problem. John Cena versus Logan Paul. I tune into that WrestleMania all day, every day. No problem. Bron Breakker versus. I mean, if Bryan doesn't drop the belt by the time he gets to WrestleMania, then it should be Rod versus Sheamus. Sheamus is just gonna have to build itself back up to get the belt, but I can see that. Yeah. That makes sense to me. That makes a lot of sense to me. All in all, Survivor Series wasn't a bad pay-per-view. I know a lot of people probably think it was really bad. The crowd sucked. I will say that. The crowd was fucking terrible for this pay-per-view. This was the first time they were out of the country and the crowd wasn't giving us what we need. The crowd sucked tonight. That shit was terrible. I hope Toronto do better in March for the Elimination Chamber because this crowd tonight fucking sucked. This crowd was terrible. It really feels like they were only there to watch two matches. The Women's War Games match, and even in that sense, they kind of were like in and out on that one. The Women's War Games match, and then the Men's War Games match. It seemed like they did not give a single fuck about the other three matches. They got into it, Gunther and Damian Priest, when I'm not gonna lie, they kind of got, but the Intercontinental and the United States Championship, the only time I heard a pop for the US Championship match was when Shinsuke won the belt. That was it. They like the Braun and Sheamus one. Because it was hard hitting, but yeah, the crowd tonight sucked. That crowd was fucking terrible. Oh my God. Now, no shot to Vancouver. I know I probably got some fans in Canada that listen to my podcast. No shot to y'all. But get y'all fucking Vancouver people back in order. What the fuck was that? That shit was god awful. That shit was terrible. It's like y'all came there for two matches, bro. It was like, man, what the fuck was that? Oh my God, man. If I was there at War Games in Houston, bro, I would have been there and been like, man, this shit is perfect. What the fuck is going on? Bro. Nah. I'll be back next Saturday. NXT Deadline. Until next time, man, I am Brand Janu. This is Wrestling Life. Peace.